The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us today. Welcome to all of our new listeners in Dayton, Ohio. What an honor to have you folks with us, and also Fordyce, Arkansas. So as we continue to grow this radio show from border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain, folks, got a lot going on today, and I want to start with a story we briefly mentioned yesterday. An undercover video that Project Veritas released. Project Veritas, known for exposing a lot of the leftist and the bias in the mainstream media, and they ended up interviewing a school teacher out in Sacramento, California, the Natomas Unified School District, and this teacher is an advanced placement government teacher. So this is a big deal. I mean, we're talking about the smart kids. We're talking about the brightest of the bright there at the local school. And this teacher was caught in an undercover video talking about how he had turned his classroom into a far-left indoctrination camp. As a matter of fact, this school teacher went so far as to say that his job was to actually change minds and to turn these God-fearing, patriotic American boys and girls into godless heathen communists. And by and large, he has been very successful at what he has done. The videos show that this school teacher has a number of communist posters and other items in his classroom. There's a photograph, a portrait of Chairman Mao on the wall of his classroom. This guy is also a member of Antifa, and he actually has an Antifa flag in his public school classroom. So I want to play some audio for you. This, and again, the reason why we're starting out with this story is because we have been telling you for many years on this radio program that the true fight to save America is not in Washington, D.C. It is actually in your local neighborhood, your local community. And that's why this radio program is so vitally important, because we are broadcasting into your local towns, into your local communities, and that gives you an opportunity to mobilize and to take action when something like this happens in your community. So this guy's name is Gabriel Gipe. He is, again, I mentioned, a government teacher at Durkheim High School in Sacramento. And I'm going to play some audio from the undercover video that was taken by Project Veritas. Let's listen.
I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries.
How do you do that? How do you
scare the out of them? Yeah. Sacramento organization that is under the banner of Antifa is very loosely organized, right? When there is like right-wing rallies and stuff, then we like... will create an opposition to that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Where would he go to connect to some of these organizations?
I post a calendar every week. Awesome. And then so I do it for extra credit, so they get points for doing it. So that encourages them to do it. And I've had like students show up for like protests, community events, you know, tabling, food distribution, also all sorts of things. When they go, they take pictures, they write up a reflection. That's their extra credit. Like I have an Antifa flag on my wall, and a student complained about that. and you said it made him feel uncomfortable. Well, this is meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable, so if you feel uncomfortable, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, maybe you shouldn't be aligning with the values that this is antithetical to.
All right. There, it was a little hard to hear at times, but I thought the money bite here is I have 180 days to turn the students into revolutionaries to scare the F out of them. That's what he said. That's what he does in his classroom. He's not teaching these kids about government, about the American way of life. He's teaching them to hate America, and he's teaching them to embrace communism. And the idea that this guy was allowed to have an Antifa flag in his taxpayer-funded classroom is nuts. So look, I've got to read this to you. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And again, the audio is not the best in the world, so I just take a listen to this quote here. As he was, again, the goal of this class is to turn your children against the government. Quote, what we can do now to root out this culture that keeps perpetuating hyper-individualism, hyper-competitiveness, capitalist exploitation, and consolidation of wealth, I do think that it's important to understand that as an extension of an economic revolution, the Chinese Communist Party were changing the base. They wanted to change the superstructure. You cannot change one without the other. You can't have cultural shifts without the economic shift and vice versa. Now, when you hear that sort of thinking, it all makes sense what's happening in America right now. It makes sense that instead of shutting down the big box stores, that the government came in and shut down all the small mom and pop businesses during the early days of the global pandemic. You want to talk about the cultural change in America. Well, what better way to do that than to shut down the churches and to threaten pastors and Christians with arrest? What better way to try and silence the Jews by going in and breaking up their funerals, which was done a number of times in New York City, which is now underwater? We'll get to that later. So when I'm looking at what's happening in our country right now with the China virus pandemic and the crackdown on our civil liberties, I'm looking at it through the lens of someone like this guy, Gabriel Geip, the government teacher, advanced placement at Endurkin High School in Sacramento, who's actually explaining this is how we're going to take over America. This is how we're going to do it. So all of what's happening in the culture right now, all of this chaos out there, ladies and gentlemen, it does now begin to make sense. And this is where I believe all of this is going. The socialist, the communist, our education system, they're trying to shove us down this path to socialism. But they don't have to do that very hard. They figured out the more effective way is just to convert your children. Because by and large, moms and dads, you don't care about your kids. You don't. You've got too much going on. Many of you live far beyond your means, which means mom and dad have to work. And then when you're not working, you're shuttling the kids to soccer practice. You're shuttling the kids to this event or that event. And you don't have time to sit down and talk to your kids and find out what they're learning at school. So many of you have completely disengaged. You don't go to the school board meetings. You don't pay attention to parent-teacher conferences. You don't care what's going on down at the school as long as your kid is passing his classes. That's it. You just don't care. And that's why we've got so many kids that have been sucked into this. They have been brainwashed by people like this school teacher. And so one of the great benefits, and maybe this was a little bit of blowback that the communists didn't really think about, they didn't realize that a lot of moms and dads were suddenly going to be forced to care about what their kids were learning in school because everybody was stuck at home. And so over the past year and a half, moms and dads have been watching and listening and reading, and they're saying, whoa, Nelly, hold on just a minute. What is going on down at the school? Why is my local school trying to convince my little boy that he's a girl and should wear pantyhose to class? What's going on down there at the public school? A lot of people have been asking questions about that. So yesterday, something very miraculous happened in the far leftist state of California. Moms and dads, by the hundreds, saw that video. Many of them saw it on our website, which you can do for yourself, toddstearns.com. And these parents saw and they heard for themselves what this teacher was doing. And for many parents, it all of a sudden it made sense. And there was a school board meeting last night, and folks, I mean, those moms and dads were ready to go to war. How dare you put our children in a class with an Antifa communist? And the school board didn't know what to do. I mean, it was amazing. It just went on and on and on. And there was the audio. You said, well, where's the audio? Well, the audio was not good. So I don't want to expose your ears to that. But you got to take my word on this, or you can Google it for yourself. So the school district did something that I have never seen happen before. I've been covering these kinds of stories for decades. And typically, whenever there is an incident involving a teacher, what is it they say? Well, it's a personnel matter, and we can't comment on personnel matters. Can't do it. But they didn't do that this time. As a matter of fact, the school superintendent released a three-page letter. Three pages. And I'm going to read some of this because it's a doozy. The school superintendent, a guy by the name of Chris Evans. Oh, wait a second. Is that Captain America? No, that's wrong, Chris Evans. My apologies. Maybe you had a day job. So Superintendent Evans says this. Natomas Unified will be taking the legally required steps to place the teacher on unpaid leave and fire the teacher. And they said they apologized. They said that what the teacher was doing was disturbing and it undermines the public's trust. And it does. Now, they went back through and they listed all of the rules and regulations this teacher violated. They also went into the guy's classroom. And all I can tell you is the Antifa flag no longer flies in that teacher's classroom. I hope they burned it. Burn, baby, burn! I've got to read this to you. This morning, the walls of the classroom were cleared of all posters and signage. Not all of the material was inappropriate. However, the district believes the physical learning environment can best be rebuilt from a total fresh start. Additionally, the teacher, using his own money, purchased a series of rubber stamps. You're not going to believe this, folks. This is going on inside the classroom. So the teacher bought rubber stamps. The stamps include an inappropriate image of Joseph Stalin with an insensitive phrase. They don't say what the phrase is. Probably something about killing the Christians. Other stamps included Fidel Castro, Kim Jong-un, and others. Oh, my God. The guys, I mean, they had a Communist Party office set up at the local high school. Let me continue. The stamps were purchased shortly before the pandemic, and their use was likely initially limited due to distance learning. The district, could you imagine getting a stamp and you had Mao Zedong's photograph on the, I can't believe this. The district's investigation did discover that at least during the 13 days of this school year, he was using the stamps to mark student work as complete. Oh, Mommy, you've got to be so proud, Mommy. Look what the teacher gave me. I did such a wonderful job. I got a Fidel Castro. Oh, Mommy. Unbelievable. The question came, how did you guys not know about all of this? And the teacher, the superintendent says, well, we had in-class visits with this teacher in 2018, 2019, and 2020. So how is it that nobody bothered to see Mao Zedong? Oh, is that your grandfather? What a handsome man. How do they not know who that was? How did they not realize that there was a stamp of Fidel Castro? How did they not realize this? Anyway, the superintendent said, well, we just basically made a mistake. We overlooked those things. Also, they said the current principal has only been on campus with the teacher for 13 school days. She is new to the school, and right now she was more focused on the pandemic than, I suppose, you know, Fidel Castro and teaching the children to love Hitler. I guess I get it. You know, the pandemic, you know, it's all about the pandemic these days. So I guess I can understand that. So look, we got to take a break here. But all I can tell you is something wonderful happened in California. Moms and dads by the hundreds saw evil in their public school, and they didn't wait around for the evening news. They got their butts down to the school board, and they demanded that wrongs be righted. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Wrongs were righted. And I suspect this is happening in school districts all over America. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to take your calls as well. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Want to watch the videos? You can do that. ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Listen up, patriots. One of the most radical plans to reshape the future of America is happening right now, and we need to stop it. President Biden's plan to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. Back in April, the president launched a special judicial commission to reform the court, but the real plan is to install four more liberal justices to gain an automatic majority and ensure favorable rulings for his radical policies. And once the court is packed, it will end the rule of law as we know it, which is exactly what happened in Venezuela and Argentina. Let's be clear, America is not a banana republic. Thankfully, First Liberty Institute is taking a stand. They've issued a letter to the commission asking them to reject this radical court-packing scheme, and they're not alone. Franklin Graham, Ed Meese, James Dobson, Tony Perkins, plus 60,000 others have joined their coalition. But we need 1 million, so add your name now. Go to SupremeCoup.com to sign First Liberty's letter. That's SupremeCoup.com. God bless America. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. And we've got a lot going on in Washington. We're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. I do want to go to the phones, though. Portland, Maine, WLOB. Webb hanging out with us. Webb, what's on your mind today?
Well, thank you, Todd, for taking my call. Just wanted to say that for at least 30 years, I've been telling people to watch the education system, that that's where we're being attacked by communism. If you will remember in World War II, what did Hitler do? Who did he take? Blood and honor. Hitler's youth. And he had children turning in their parents if they didn't follow the company line. This attack on American youth is the oldest thing. It's been going on. We wiped out Hitler, but then we're adopting the same kind of indoctrination, only with communism instead of Nazism. But the point is, they're both socialism.
Well, that is true, Webb, and you know, that's a great point. And again, they're not teaching this in American history, and I'm fairly certain they were not teaching it the way it should have been taught there at that high school in the Natomas school district. But you're right. Go back to remember what Barack Hussein Obama did. He tried to convince, he went directly to the young people of America, who are now the millennials, and he told them, have arguments at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Go after your uncle, the crazy uncle who watches Fox News. Remember those conversations, Webb?
Oh, very, very much so. And I would not be surprised if he's the puppeteer pulling the strings on what's going on now. I mean, just look at the whole pattern. Never mind what people say. What about their actions? We leave Americans in Afghanistan and bring over 2,600 or more, 26,000 Afghanis. We have no idea who they are, what disease they have.
And Webb, just think about this now. And not only that, we're now partnering with the Taliban, the Biden administration partnering with the Taliban, an organization that wants to kill Christians and wipe Israel off the face of the earth. So I think people need to understand exactly who the Biden administration wants to ally with. That's not coming from Delaware. That's coming from a guy who grew up in Kenya and ended up going to high school in Hawaii and became our president. That's where that kind of thinking comes from. Webb, God bless you. Thanks for listening to us. It is a great history lesson. And all you homeschool kids out there listening to the show today, you got Google that story. Hitler Youth. That's exactly what's happening. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Set. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS. You know, now more than ever, folks, it's so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Companies like Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile not only shares our beliefs, they're doing something about it. Let me tell you something about Patriot Mobile, folks. When you pay your bill, yeah, a portion of that is not going to fund Planned Parenthood. They support organizations that that we believe in, that we care about. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about, like pro-life groups. So switch to Patriot Mobile right now. If you use the promo code Todd, you're going to get free activation. You will also receive a free gift. If you're a veteran or first responder, you will save even more money. Switching incredibly easy. All you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service line, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Todd. By the way, remember TikTok teacher, the gal who was pledging allegiance to the queers? The gal who told the world through TikTok that she had removed Old Glory from her classroom?
Because it makes me scared. I'm just terrified.
That's what she said. Well, yeah, she is on leave now. And again, moms and dads in Southern California. So we've got parents in Northern California, parents in Southern California. They're rising up and they're taking back their classrooms. Folks, if you do that in your community, I guarantee you we will save America. Believe it or not, it is that simple. It is that easy. It's a lot of hard work, but I'm telling you, it can happen. By the way, I got to share this story with you. Bellingham, Washington. Jeez-a-loo. Young America's Foundation has this story. It turns out that a teacher was instructing the children about gender. So we're talking about second graders, all right? Second graders. So anyway, one of the teachers, man, these people are morons. They love writing about all. They actually are putting all the evidence of their crimes on social media. This makes it very easy for people like me to do my job. So the teacher said, after recess, we read The Day You Begin by Jacqueline Woodson. As we looked at the cover and made guesses about what the book would be about, one child said, I think the girl is walking into her new classroom because on the cover of the book, ladies and gentlemen, is a little girl with a book and she looks very nervous as she walks in. So like you would normally feel on the first day of school, right? So the little second grader.
A teacher, teacher.
And again, this child is what? How old is the average second grader? It's been a long time. What, maybe 7, 8 years old? About in, all right, Grace is shaking her head. Yes, she's a dog mom. What do I, what does she know? So we're going to say a 7 or 8 year old kid. The kid does not have an advanced degree. The kid is, doesn't have a doctorate. The kid doesn't have a degree in biology. But the kid is smart enough at the age of 8 to take a look and say, oh, that's a little girl walking into a classroom. Then the teacher said, oh, that's so interesting. I heard you say girl when you were talking about this character. We actually don't know someone's gender just by looking at them. We can read the book to see if we get any clues. Here's a clue, you moron. Take a look at the picture. It's a girl. Even the stupid 8-year-old, and I don't mean anything against 8-year-olds, but they're stupid. Their brains haven't been filled with knowledge yet. But even at 8 years old, the kid is smarter than the teacher. At that point, if I had been the 8-year-old, I would have said, hey, lady, yeah, you got some issues. But no, I'm just saying, it is what it is. The teacher went on to tell the students that they had to call the character in the book they until her gender was revealed. It's a freaking storybook. Another child, again, a clearly very intelligent 8-year-olds. Another child raised a hand to say, well, maybe the character says they or them. I responded by saying, some people use those words when they aren't talking, when they aren't using their name. Let's use those little words to talk about our character for now. And if we find out something different, we can change what we're saying. We did not find any clues about the character's gender or pronouns, so we continued to say they. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what indoctrination looks like in a public school classroom. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, we have some great guests coming on. Our good friend Timothy Head from the Faith and Freedom Coalition is going to join us. Also, Congresswoman Nancy Mace will be here. Jason Miller from Getter is going to drop by, and we've got a great radio roundtable with our friend Mary Walter and Kayla Blakesley from WOWO, that's WOWO, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the city of churches. By the way, Grace Baker, you know, WOWO is one of the heritage radio stations in America.
I did not know that.
Been around for generations. And they're known because they used to keep the time and temperature out on the fire escape of the building. So they whenever they would refer to the time or the temp, they would say it's 78 degrees on the WOWO fire escape.
So that's hilarious. I love it.
I think it's pretty brilliant. So,
oh, it's great.
Great radio station. They've had me up a number of times, you know, to do events, and we've got a great audience up there. They carry the show on the weekends, and they've been carrying my commentaries forever. But if you remember, we were having a conversation with Congressman Jim Banks a couple of weeks ago. He represents that area. The City of Churches, that's the that's their nickname. They got a lot of churches in Fort Wayne. And they also, when you get off the airplane at the airport, they give you a cookie, like a homemade delicious cookie.
Well, that's nice.
A butter cookie. It is. There'll be a sweet, grandmotherly-like person there, and they'll say, welcome to Fort Wayne. We'd like to give you a cookie.
Well, that's sweet, and and figuratively.
Well, I remember my first time that happened, and I was sort of taken aback, you know, because normally they're, if you do that in LaGuardia, somebody's going to, you know, stab you. It's a very different environment.
It sounds like they're in the South when you hear that, you know,
right?
You think Southern hospitality.
But. So the lady said, I would like to give you a cookie, and I said, I'd like to give you a hug. She did. I got the cookie. She got a hug.
What a moment.
It was a special moment. I bonded. There was a bonding moment there. So anyway, Kayla Blakesley is one of the great news anchors there. The other amazing thing about WOWO, they have a full news department. You walk into the newsroom, there is a portrait of Ronald Reagan on the wall.
Oh, love it.
That's all you need to know. This is why talk radio is going to save America. I'm just telling you, it's terrific. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're waiting for the White House press briefing. You know, yesterday the press conference was a little delayed. And Psaki, Circleback Psaki, who is all about transparency, refused to answer any questions about Americans left behind in Afghanistan. Now, last night I was watching the storm coverage coming out of New York City, and I heard Don Lemon say something. Don Lemon, who is awaiting trial for over accusations that he did something horrible to a man at a bar, was having a conversation with Fredo Cuomo. And you need to understand this, because this will be the narrative moving forward. Don Lemon actually said these words. He said, how do we even know that there really are Americans left behind in Afghanistan? And so that will be the new narrative. And you watch the mainstream media over the next couple of days will begin moving towards that direction. A, they will either just ignore what's happening in Afghanistan, or B, they're going to try and convince us, well, there's nobody left there. There's nobody left in Afghanistan who's an American. That's what they're going to do. Oh, by the way, did you see the videos of the flooding last night in New York City? They're saying now, 17 people in New York City are dead. There could be more, and it is a horrible situation. So this was the we're talking about the remnants of Hurricane Ida. And the storm just pounded New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, tornadoes dropping down. And they normally don't have tornadoes in that part of the country. But the flooding was insane. And a number of people actually died in their apartments. Now, you have to understand, a lot of people live in basement apartments, and those basement apartments flooded within just a matter of minutes. I mean, just a matter of minutes. And we understand that a mom and a dad and their three-year-old were among those who lost their lives. So there's a lot of cleanup, a lot of search and rescue still underway in New York City. They said it was raining at 1.10 inches an hour. And the international airport there, Newark International, completely inundated. There was actually, and I don't know if you saw the video, there are just piles of garbage, and the garbage bags were just floating down the streets that have been turned into canals. Just unbelievable. All right, look, we're going to take a break here. We're going to go right back to the phones. If you're in New York City, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, see how things are going there. What a mess. We have a lot of video. I mean, a lot of video on our website if you want to see some of the insane flooding, especially in the subway system. It looked like Niagara Falls. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
By the way, folks, what a great, great day in the state of Texas. God bless Texas, defending the unborn. Late last night, I mean late last night, the Supreme Court decided they would not intervene in the case. Now, what I think is interesting, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, appointed to the bench by George W. Bush, sided with the liberal justices here. But thank God literally thank God for the justices that President Trump put on the Supreme Court, because they stood up for life last night. Now, Dick Morris over at Newsmax has written a column, and he says this is actually bad news for Republicans. And he believes that this ruling is actually going to work to motivate and rally Democrats, and they could end up taking, you know, maintaining control of the House and the Senate in the 2022 midterm elections. Do you buy into that? Do you believe that this is going to hurt Republicans at the ballot box? So Dick Morris is upset because he says, and I'm going to read this from his column, it even bans the abortion pill after 6 weeks, opening the door to a private right to sue doctors, pharmacists, other healthcare workers who prescribe or sell the pill to women who are more than 6 weeks pregnant. And Dick Morris says this Supreme Court decision is literally going to change everything. And I think it's going to change it for the good. That's what I think. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Do you think this Supreme Court decision is going to hurt Republicans? Let's go to the lines. Jeff in Austin, Texas, listening to us on the live stream. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I was wondering if you think it is at all hypocritical that you are against a woman's right to choose what she does with her own.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure what that's all about. All right, let's go to Steve in Maine, WLOB.
Did you just mute that guy because you didn't like his question?
No, not at all. We don't allow foul language on the radio.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear him swear, but I okay. Anyway, my point of view on going back to those citizens that were supposedly left in Afghanistan, that Biden supposedly left American citizens there, those citizens had a year and a half notice that we were leaving. So my question to you is, why is it Joe Biden's fault if they didn't do the proper process? And I'll give you a little tidbit on the background. Elizabeth Troy, who happens to be Mike Pence's Homeland Security advisor for 3 years, was on MSNBC, CNN. She did all the rounds saying that when she did a meeting, she asked how many people were doing the visas for the Afghanistan citizens to make sure they get out before the deadline date of, I think it was May originally. And Stephen Miller and the others looked across at her and they kind of gave a grin, I guess. They had one person working on 100,000+ visas for Afghan citizens. So whose fault is it really?
Well, are you still talking or do you want me to answer your question?
No, go ahead. Usually you mute me, but go ahead.
Wait, what do you mean by that? No, we don't mute anybody unless you use foul language. Do you like to cuss on the radio, Stephen? Is that what you do?
No, but last time I called in, you muted me. So
no, we... Okay, let me answer your question here. Let me answer your question. First of all, Joe Biden lied to the American people. He said that he would not remove the military out of Afghanistan until every last American citizen had been evacuated. That's what he told George Stephanopoulos on ABC News just a couple of weeks ago, Stephen. So this is on Joe Biden. He's the president of the United States right now. This is on him. Now, let me finish.
How do we know Americans are still there? How do we know?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
How do we know how many Americans are there?
And ladies and gentlemen, that is the Democrat talking point right there. They're going to convince us, they're going to try and convince us that there are no Americans left in Afghanistan. Now, look, Stephen, I'm of the opinion that if you're an American citizen and you go to Afghanistan, you're a moron. You're an idiot because it is an incredibly dangerous place to go. But
so you agree it's their fault.
No, sir. No, Stephen, are you going to let me finish? Let me finish. Jeez, are you married, Stephen?
Yeah, I am. Go ahead.
Do you let your wife talk at all? I mean, it's just you got to give me some space here to work. Look, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Look, Stephen. Yes, these people, it is their fault that they're there behind enemy lines because they should have gotten out. But the problem here is this, and it's a good problem. Those are stupid people, but they're our stupid people. And we've got a responsibility as America to get our stupid people out of that country, because nobody deserves to be sold into sex slavery. Nobody deserves to have their head chopped off. Nobody deserves to be thrown off of a building because they might be LGBT or Q. So we got to get them out of there. And the problem I have is Joe Biden made a promise, and Joe Biden failed to deliver on that promise. Stephen, we got to run. We're not cutting you off, but we got to run. Now I remember why we had to mute the guy. He just wouldn't be quiet. Got to get a word in edgewise. Jeez-a-loo. But folks, you watch. This is the narrative moving forward, is that there really aren't any Americans in Afghanistan. And if you caught the Biden administration's language, they play a little bit of word salad, but they use phrases like, we got everybody out who wanted to get out. Well, we know that's not true. Even NBC, ABC, CNN, and MSNBC are reporting that. So it's a big, big mess. The lesson here, don't go to North Korea on vacation. Don't go to Afghanistan on vacation. Don't be stupid, America. Don't be stupid. All right, look, coming up, we're going to be taking your calls. There are some Republicans now who think this abortion ruling from the Supreme Court is actually a bad thing. How could it possibly be a bad thing when you're saving the lives of unborn children? As a matter of fact, Kamala Harris says it disproportionately affects black people. You're darn tootin' it does. We're saving a lot of black babies' lives. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Sturge Radio Show.
Casting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. A lot going on around the country. Hope you're doing good wherever you might be. Hope you got a rowboat if you're in Brooklyn, New York. You know, Grace Baker, I was looking at the videos, and there was one area where the water was literally over the hoods of the cars, and the cars were bobbing up and down, and I thought, holy smokes, that's my old neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, Carroll Street and 4th Avenue in Brooklyn.
Well, I'm glad you moved.
That area always flooded, even on a regular rainstorm, it would flood, but this was insane. And that side is called Park Slope.
Okay.
It's
a slope.
So all the homes are built on hills leading up to the park.
Yikes.
So it's a pretty long stretch. I would say it's about a quarter mile up. And so all that water was coming down.
That's terrible.
It was a mess. 17 people have died so far over there. So it's a horrible story. And the subway system is down. And people say, what? Who cares about the subway? 7 million people a day take that subway.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you get to work in New York City. And that's how I got to work.
I visited. That's definitely the way you got around.
When I was at Fox News, they gave me a car and driver. That was part of the deal, you know.
Ooh.
And it was nice, but I got to, especially in the early morning hours. But when they switched me to like middays, it became more of a hassle. And it's a lot quicker. I was exactly 8 miles from the office. And it would take 45, 50 minutes good day.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
On a good day.
That's just sad.
Subway, you're there 10, 15 minutes, you know. It is, you got to deal with a mariachi band, you know, and a homeless guy wanting to, you know, cuddle with you. But, you know, it is what it is.
You get entertainment on your ride to work.
It's a good point. All right, folks, a lot going on. And, of course, we mentioned just a few moments ago this Dick Morris piece. He's very concerned that the abortion ruling is actually going to hurt Republicans and mobilize Democrats. I don't know about that, but that's some of the thinking among some of the more moderate Republicans out there. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us Timothy Head from Faith and Freedom Coalition, one of the premier organizations out there rallying conservative voters, Christian voters, and they did a heck of a job in the last election cycle registering voters. And Timothy, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys registered more people to vote than the Republican Party did.
We did. Thank you for having us on today, Todd. And it's kind of a blocking and tackling. It's not a real sexy experience to be able to go out, you know, door to door and kind of week in and week out doing that kind of work. But it has to get done. And we had some success. We're looking to have even more success in 2022.
Well, and now is the time to start mobilizing for that. How are things looking at this early stage, and what are you guys up to?
Well, first of all, you got to say it's always a kind of an ambivalent experience coming up short in an election because obviously on the one hand you're not in these positions of power, but on the other hand when liberals take these positions of power, either White House, Senate, House, it's basically a matter of time before they start to blow things up, literally or figuratively. And so that's exactly what we're seeing. Frankly, a little faster, a little quicker than most of us would have anticipated. But between COVID, now a real total debacle. I mean, a human tragedy, frankly, in Afghanistan, and a lot of questionable other public policies. You know, questionable things in the Middle East around Israel. They're basically batting over on almost every major policy that they've tried to either pass or enable or enact. And that means that a lot of moderates or independents are seeing this and just realizing that it's a real disaster. And so, honestly, I think we've even seen in the last basically 45 days, President Biden's favorable numbers have dropped precipitously. And this is the opportunity, I think, for conservatives and Republicans to kind of put our best foot forward and try to win back some of those persuadable voters.
By the way, here, and I want to break in for just a moment here, Timothy, with some breaking news. This is coming from the White House. President Biden releasing a statement on that incredible Supreme Court ruling on the Texas pro-life law. The president says, and it is a lengthy statement, but I think the first sentence will get the tone and tenor here. The Supreme Court's ruling overnight is an unprecedented assault on a woman's constitutional rights under Roe v. Wade, which has been the law of the land for almost 50 years. The president says it unleashes unconstitutional chaos and empowers self-anointed enforcers to have devastating impacts. I mean, that is quite the harsh statement there, Timothy, but again, this goes back to elections having consequences, and the fact of the matter is President Donald Trump lived up to his campaign promises and put pro-life justices and constitutionalists on the court.
That's exactly right, and frankly, this is almost precisely, there were probably three or four key issues that the left had in the front of their mind when they were I think a lot of us can recall, you know, a lot of the anarchy really that was unfolding around the Kavanaugh hearings, a couple of years ago now. But this is what they feared. This is precisely what they thought would happen. It was just a matter of time before a state legislature, a bill or a law from a state legislature kind of worked its way up the chain. Well, it just so happens one of our close friends in the state of Texas, a state senator by the name of Brian Hughes, has been working on that bill for a while. It was very precisely, meticulously crafted with a favorable Supreme Court in mind. And thankfully, the bill passed in the legislature, and we're thrilled that now the Supreme Court has seen fit to acknowledge that it falls within the constraints of the Constitution, and now there's opportunities for other states to kind of go to school, so to speak, on that Texas bill.
I mean, it was a brilliant piece of legislation, and it's just wonderful news coming out of the Supreme Court last night. And I'm with you. Let's hope other states follow suit. And this is, Timothy, what I appreciate about this, and I think there's a lesson here for state lawmakers, is that you need to be thoughtful and you need to make sure that, you know, the pro-life legislation is going to pass constitutional muster. And they certainly did that in the state of Texas.
That's exactly right. And you can tell how effective it is and how kind of threatening ideologically it is to the left by by seeing responses, you know, very quick responses by the, you know, in this case, by this White House and other, you know, vocal leaders on the left. This in the state of Texas, the early kind of anticipated math, this is expected to probably reduce the number of abortions in the state of Texas up to 80 to 85%.
Wow.
So while we recognize every single one of those, that the remaining 15 or 20% absolutely matter, but I'll tell you that for those 80%, you know, that have a chance at life, this really makes a difference. These are hundreds of thousands of people.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Timothy Head from Faith and Freedom Coalition. Timothy, real quick here. I'm curious how things are going mobilizing the church community in America. I know over the past year, 2 years or so, we have seen a sort of wokeness infect the church, and I'm wondering if you guys are sensing that or seeing that and how y'all are dealing with that.
Well, it's a good question, and I'll say the shortest version I can give you is the wokeness is probably, I think what it has done is it's kind of outed, so to speak, a lot of people who were who probably were trending or tended towards a more liberal or progressive political as well as probably theological approach. And so I actually don't think there's a huge kind of political repercussion to it. What we're seeing is basically biblically orthodox conservative Christians are actually becoming more engaged, more vocal and kind of outspoken. So there's a kind of a lot of fanfare and a lot of dust that's kind of getting kicked up around the wokeness, the true kind of bottom line impact is pretty minimal and arguably even positive because it more galvanizes people, gets them off the sidelines.
I like to hear that, and that is good news. And I'm especially encouraged by the Christian community in California. I mean, they've just really been mobilized and energized since Newsom has been in office and those crackdowns happened.
Well, and we saw it, you know, the tail end of last year. So there were a couple of congressional seats there that, you know, that had been very competitive, but it had swung towards a Democrat or a liberal. But we actually were able to pick up a couple of seats in California last year. Faith and Freedom was extremely engaged there between the registration and then also turnout. You know, we were knocking doors in Orange County, San Diego County, Riverside County, San Bernardino, those southern places, which when you really kind of think about it, those four counties are bigger than the state of Georgia, bigger than the state of North Carolina. So huge population still with a lot of Christian conservative people.
All right, Timothy, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to get you back on the show on a semi-regular basis as we head into 2022. Really, I mean, you guys are it. I mean, you're the organization out there at the forefront of all of this, and we believe that you guys are going to help restore those conservative majorities back in the Senate and the House. So good luck to you out there.
Hey, God bless you. Thanks so much for talking about these issues, and we're looking forward to being in touch on a regular basis.
All right.
Great work.
Timothy Head, ladies and gentlemen, Faith and Freedom Coalition. We've got links to their organization and the website on our website. You can check that out at toddstearns.com. Oh, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Again, our website address, toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. Great resources for you there, ladies and gentlemen. In just about an hour and a half, our newsletter will be coming out, the daily newsletter. It is the only way that you are guaranteed to get conservative news and content delivered to you without censorship. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
You know who we need to be thanking here, and this is not going to happen if you're a never Trump Christian or you're one of those woke evangelicals. They need to be thanking President Trump. We all need to be thanking President Trump. This man, truly the most pro-life president in American history, Donald John Trump. The only president, by the way, who actually addressed the March for Life in person on the Washington Mall. Nobody else did that. Not even Ronald Reagan did that. And here Donald Trump is, and we're able to celebrate this Supreme Court ruling thanks to the justices that he put on the Supreme Court. So thank you, President Trump. You are a man who lived up to your promises, not only to the American people, but also those beautiful, sweet, innocent, unborn babies. So God bless you, Mr. President. All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Malcolm in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on the line with us. Hey, Malcolm, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thanks so much for having me on. I enjoy your show very
much. Thank
you.
Thank you.
When I can catch it coming and going. There's been a lot of comparisons. I served in Vietnam, and there's been a lot of comparisons between Afghan and the Vietnam War, and many of them don't hold water. But when it comes to this exodus and our leaving people behind, I think that's pretty similar to what happened in Vietnam, all of which was denied, by the way. Our leaving probably hundreds of POWs over there in Laos and North Vietnam, and all of it was denied for many decades by both Republicans and Democrats. And now, in this late stage, many folks of that era have passed on, and politicians have passed on, and a lot of the truth is coming out. And so here we are once again. We've done this to citizens there in Afghanistan.
It's just appalling, Malcolm, and it's just not who we are as Americans, and especially those Afghanis who put their own lives on the line to help us and to help try and establish democracy in that country. We owe it to them to live up to our promises. But beyond that, Malcolm, I'm afraid that we have just created a new generation of very radicalized people who are going to want payback for what's happened to their parents and their grandparents at the hands right. of the Taliban, because, and they were abandoned by the Americans. I think there's going to be payback for that.
And I think you're going to see Republicans begin to take on a bit of the Democrat Party line that you're now saying, that you're pointing out. And that is that we don't really know who's over there, how many, or even if they're over there. That's the same thing that happened 50 years ago. So, and these are the same Republicans, by the way, on the other subject of the show, who are sweating and wringing their hands about the Texas abortion law. They can't stand up for the right no matter what.
That's true. That's true. Malcolm, thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate all of our great listeners in Chattanooga, the scenic city, by the way. Lookout Mountain, you got that beautiful aquarium downtown. A fun place to take the family. Stella Parton is calling, as is weighing in on issues of the day. That's Dolly's. is that Dolly's sister?
Sister.
Oh,
yes.
Lord. Yeah, there are similarities.
Yes, there are.
From the neck up. So, Stella Parton, and you know, Dolly, everybody loves Dolly. I think Dolly's kind of middle of the roadish. I don't think she's.
Dolly.
I like Dolly.
Who doesn't
like
her?
We all like Dolly.
She's very likable.
Stella, on the other hand, is a moron. So, Stella Parton was on a program, and she says that women in America are being treated worse than women in Afghanistan. Stella says, don't you find it odd that women in America are being treated worse than women in Afghanistan? Okay, I don't believe that women in America are forced. Oh, wait a second. They are forced to wear the face burqa. Oh, she may have a point there. I mean, but that's coming from Fauci and the CDC. I mean, they're forcing the women to cover up in public. She says we wasted $2 trillion plus to go into Afghanistan to liberate their women and children. Something ain't right here, folks. Are you catching on yet? So a couple of things here. Over the past 20 years, the women in Afghanistan have been able to go and get jobs. They've been able to go to college. They're able to get outside of their home. They're able to be free and live their lives. But under Taliban rule, the women are not able to go to school. They're not able to walk outside of their homes. Many of them are being sold into sex slavery and God knows what. So anyway, it's, again, this is frustrating, folks, but this is the reality. Many of our entertainers are just flat out stupid. Lord love them, but they're just stupid. Ignorant. That's all. I mean, it is sad. Very sad. All right, folks, we got to take a break here. Coming up, we have Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Also, we're going to be talking to our good friend, Jason Miller from getter.com. And we got a radio roundtable coming up as well. So plus your calls, 901-260-5926. No, we love Dolly. It's Stella. Stella! Never, Grace, you don't understand that reference, do you? Cat on the hot Tennessee Whips. Go read a book. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Our good friend Congresswoman Nancy Mace introduced an amendment in the House Oversight Committee to track down all the military equipment that was seized by the Taliban. And by the way, now the mainstream media, again, they're all working off the same talking points now. You've got reporters out there saying, well, how do we know there are Americans left in Afghanistan? And now they're saying, well, this is a military equipment. It wasn't all that much. And they really don't know how to use the helicopters and whatnot. That is the new narrative coming out of the mainstream media. Anyway, Congresswoman Mace introduced what to me was a very reasonable amendment to track down all this military equipment, but it was voted down by every single Democrat on the House Oversight Committee. Congresswoman Mace is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Congresswoman, your reaction to this?
Just absolutely shameful what happened today on Oversight Committee. You know, we're debating and doing markup on this budget reconciliation, this massive spending bill Democrats want to do, and they have a very nebulous, vague $25 million sitting there to manage progressive programs, you know, social, environmental justice, equity kind of stuff. I'm not really sure what that means. But, you know, rather than, you know, spend it on that, I said let's focus on all of the equipment, the arms, the artillery, the ammunition, the vehicles, the planes, the night vision goggles. Let's find out what we left there, what they have, track it, and try to recruit some of it. And I learned just yesterday, you know, Iran is starting to buy vehicles from the Taliban. Like, are they using American cash to do that? Because we gave them billions of dollars, too. But every single Democrat voted against this measure. And, you know, Afghanistan war should not be partisan. This should be a nonpartisan, a bipartisan sort of issue to figure out what the heck we left over there. And is there some way to get it back or track it so we know what they actually have? This is our national security. It puts our nation at a grave, grave risk.
I mean, even yesterday, the Nancy Pelosi refused to allow the names of the fallen to be read aloud on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Crazy.
It's. I mean, why are they doing this?
Well, one of my friends across the aisle today, you know, said that this was a distraction. That Republicans are trying to distract, trying to use Afghanistan as a distraction. That's not what we're. This is a major bungling of the exit out of Afghanistan. We lost 13 men and women, young men and women, some of them on their first deployment to Afghanistan. We owe their families answers. We owe our veterans. We owe our Afghan allies. We owe answers to the American people. And they don't want to talk about it. They want to move on to something else. Well, we cannot move on from this. We have to learn from our mistakes over the last 20 years. We need to know what we armed the Taliban with. I think it's incredible that they want to turn their backs on American citizens. And you know, we know there are American citizens that we left behind. We've all read the stories about those young students from California, some of whom are still stuck there, some of whom are in transit back to the United States. I've heard of stories on the ground through my office and through other members of Congress, Republican and Democrat alike, that there are citizens stuck on the ground. We left behind many, many Afghan allies who are willing to take a bullet for our soldiers, a bullet for our country. Many SIV applicants and those who've been approved for those special immigrant visas have been left behind. And I also want to know, how are we vetting the people we did airlift out of there? Because clearly there wasn't a plan. So what are we going to do about it now?
It's a great question. And now you have the Pentagon and the State Department suggesting that we could be providing aid and equipment to the Taliban, that there actually could be cooperation. I mean, we're talking about a ruthless bunch of people. These are evil people. They do evil things. And we have no business being anywhere in cahoots with these folks.
No, we should not. I mean, what's the old phrase? Never negotiate with a terrorist. Well, these guys, the minute they came on television last week saying women would be treated fairly under Sharia law, they go and fire all the female reporters, right? Women aren't allowed to leave their homes. Young women won't get educated in schools. These are not our friends. They're not the friends of America. They're not the friends of our allies. They're friends with other terrorists. And now they're selling equipment to places like Iran. Iran hates the Taliban. And all of a sudden, they're now both on the same side. What we have done is the exact opposite of what the administration was intending to do with this exit because it was so poorly planned.
By the way, the headline at FoxNews.com, you just can't make this up. Biden helped secure the Afghan border as unvetted migrants continue to pour into the United States from Mexico. So we're helping secure their border, but not ours.
Right. And I was just at the border 48 hours ago. What I saw there, what I witnessed there was shocking. It was my first official visit. And they're just pouring through. There were 70 miles of fencing and wall that was supposed to be built near Laredo. And when Biden, by executive order, decided we're not going to do that anymore, there was steel on the ground ready to build that wall. And seeing all the Border Patrol agents and the work that they're doing and the morale is so low because they don't feel like they have a mission. And in fact, Homeland Security banned us from going to a muster meeting with Border Patrol. So the crisis after crisis is very discouraging to see that. And we're not even working together. I mean, this should be something we should all be able to work on together as Americans.
Well said. All right, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, we always appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks for fighting for the American people up on Capitol Hill.
Of course. Thank you, sir.
All right. Congresswoman Nancy Mace from beautiful South Carolina. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Grace Baker, I wanted to ask you a question about something because you're a lady.
Oh, no.
And so you're like, you represent all the women in America. It's a big responsibility you have.
That is a huge responsibility. I'll do my best.
So there's a new study. This is from the Daily Mail. There's a new study that suggests women like men, macho men, who mumble.
I agree with the first half of that.
Researchers in California have found that men who mumble are seen as more attractive by women. Speaking less clearly, like Hollywood legends Tom Hardy and Marlon Brando, I want to make you an offer you can't refuse. That's mumbling. It's seen as attractive because it's linked to being macho.
Why?
I don't know. Women tend to produce speech that is, now on the other hand, men on the other hand, like women who are well-spoken.
Okay, that's fair.
And they say women tend to produce speech that is acoustically and phonetically more distinct than that of males.
I would agree with that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, women definitely talk more, generally speaking. Probably the reason that survey is correct is because probably women like men who talk less. So when they mumble, first of all, they're quieter. So it's like they're barely even talking.
So what they're saying is that you can actually be attracted to someone, turned on by someone, simply by the way they speak.
That is, apparently.
Really?
I guess. But more I was thinking of,
yes.
if a man mumbles a lot, he probably doesn't speak a lot, and he's probably very quiet, which leaves more room for the woman to talk more. That's what I was thinking when I heard that.
I'm glad you said that and
listen,
not me.
I love to talk. I talk to myself all the time. And yeah, women like to hear their own voices. That's just a fact.
The study from the University of California, Irvine, Grace, they say there's actually a word for this. The attractiveness in speech patterns appears to be a form of what's known as sexual dimorphism.
Oh, So you were saying, like, men, like, I know who Tom, oh, who did you say?
Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy. Marlon Brando.
Yep.
The Godfather.
Oh.
They come to me and they say, I'm Corleone, give me justice. But you don't ask with respect.
Oh.
Were you attracted to that?
No.
What? The guy mumbles.
Well, it doesn't. I don't. I'm telling you, the reason that this is even a thing is because it leaves room for women to talk more when the man mumbles and is like,
is
and
this
then
true?
The woman can just talk.
Is this true? I want to hear from the women in our audience. I'm very curious.
I
ladies,
hope I represented.
Is it true that you want a quiet man so you can actually do the talking? 901-260-5926 or 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So, Grace, I'm still reading this. I'm still reading this information. It's from the Journal of the Acoustical Society of America.
Okay.
So
didn't know that was a thing.
They say it's possible the link between male vocal attractiveness and unintelligible speech is due to a compelling yet paradoxical evolutionary hypothesis.
That's just that. Okay.
What?
That's word salad. But continue.
From a sexual selection standpoint. Males with traits that are slightly more masculine than average are typically preferred. So basically, women want a guy who stands peeing up. Upright.
It put it very, very bluntly, yes,
right.
Todd.
Right. Basically, they don't want a wuss, right?
Yeah, they want a dude who has his
own
opinions.
I'm a man. Yes.
He's a man.
Yes. Hello, darling. But how are you today?
I still don't know how that's linked to mumbling, though.
Men with long facial features and large eyes... And women with slim faces and small eyes are perceived as more promiscuous.
Whoa.
Grace, let me see your face.
What?
And I was just curious.
Man, I'm going to call HR.
You know what? Let's go to the phones. Grace, you're going to stay on the line. You got me into this trouble.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's go to Kathy in Georgia. Kathy, I'm just going to let you and Grace handle this.
I was just wanting to tell you, first of all, I'm glad you're doing good, and I'm glad both y'all are on. We need y'all desperately.
Thank you.
But when she was talking a minute ago and said something about that she talks to herself, I got news for you. I have done it, come from a long line of it, and I felt really called out about it. And one day my daddy was standing, and he said, who are you talking to? I said, myself. He said, no. You think out loud. You don't talk to yourself.
Exactly.
So I'm going to get me a T-shirt that says... I'm not talking to myself. I'm thinking out loud.
I need that shirt too, Kathy. You're smart. I think that smart people think out loud.
Well, I do too, and I thank you. But my daddy was the one that he laid that door, and my daddy never lied to me. I love him. I loved him very, very much. But I just wanted Todd to hear that.
All right.
And I just want to let you know.
Thanks,
and
Kathy.
Stay on. We got to have you.
Oh, we're not going anywhere, Kathy. We're not going anywhere. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
See, she makes me feel I'm not crazy.
All right. And let's go to Kim, Florida. All right, Kim.
Yes.
What's going on?
I know people say, Kim, are you talking to yourself? And I said, yes, I'm talking to myself. And when I fight with myself, I always win.
I know. It's great.
Right?
You never lose an argument when you're fighting with yourself.
I never do. Nope. And, you know, Dobson used to say women have 20,000 words a day and men have 5. So, you know.
I heard that too.
I'm doing what comes naturally.
All right. Well, there you go.
Women talk more.
You see, yeah, I'm trying to stay out of the doghouse. So I'm just letting the ladies handle the conversation today.
Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for calling in. Oh, so Charlotte Hazard, who is our student worker over at Liberty University, and you read her stories on our website, toddstearns.com. Charlotte, I think I'm being ganged up on here. Hey, Charlotte, what's going on?
Not much. Grace, I just wanted to say I totally agree with you. You're not crazy for talking to yourself.
Thank you.
And I actually do agree with the study. I think women, I mean, this is just me saying this. I think if you're more talkative, you're going to look at someone who's a little bit more reserved because opposites do attract. That's just my opinion.
Opposites attract.
You know, it's interesting because Avery does not talk a lot. So on
true.
The staff. So
he's kind of quiet. So you know, get him onto something like Marvel. then he'll start talking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that is good point. That is a fair point.
When we're hanging out in the studio, we just talk about movies and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Wait, you don't work? You're talking about movies?
We do. I just finished my article, actually.
Thank you. Yes, as a matter of fact, Charlotte, you did, and I'll be editing that here in the commercial break. So we'll have that story up a little bit later on. All right, Charlotte, good having you on the show. Thanks for calling in. So there you go, folks.
I feel vindicated right now.
Do you really feel vindicated?
Yes.
I'm intrigued by the study, but I'm not understanding the men with long facial features and large eyes are perceived as more, promiscuous.
I think just like, I feel like if I look at movie celebrities, the guys with, longer facial features, it's just more manly looking. I don't know.
Okay. Ladies, do you agree with that? Men, what about you? Women with slim faces and small eyes are perceived as more promiscuous as well. The study, experts in Australia asked heterosexual men and women about their levels of sociosexuality. Who's making up all of these words? The willingness to engage in sexual activity outside of committed relationships, also known as casual sex. Men who were open to casual sex. Oh, so basically they were judging people's face, how they looked, based on how they answered the question. Very, very odd. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. From Fox News, San Francisco is going to start paying people to not shoot each other. Well, they'd go bankrupt if they did that in Memphis. I'm just going to tell you. People are dropping dead all over the place. I mean, they're shooting everybody around here. But it's a lovely place to come on vacation. Just bring your Kevlar vest. San Francisco rolling out a pilot program that will pay high-risk individuals to not shoot anyone as gun crimes tick up in the city. Cheryl Davis is the executive director of the Human Rights Commission, and she said these small investments can transform the lives of individuals, but they can also transform communities. So the way this works is if you don't shoot anybody, you get, $300? They're also eligible to receive an additional $200 a month if they stay out of trouble. Payments are made in the form of gift cards, according to the San Francisco Examiner. You can't make this up. No, I'm not making this up. This is a real story. A real story. Mayor London Breed spoke approvingly of the idea. She says she believes this will cut down on crime. Now, I just have a question here. Who's to say that the criminals won't take that money or those gift cards and go down to the local gun store to get ammo to go shoot more people, all the while promising not to shoot anybody? Who's to say? But by the way, this is the same city that provides free drugs and needles for drug addicts, and they're still trying to figure out, well, geez, Lou, why do we have such a high number of people on drugs in our city? We don't understand what's going on here. All I can say is you better get more body bags, San Francisco. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. How is that, Grace? Does that sound sexy or something?
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So, Grace, I was just checking the text messages. My phone was blowing up over something. And I got a message from somebody listening to the program Dallas. This is good. Oh, it's not a death threat. So that's
okay. Good.
By the way, we want to give a shout out to 77-year-old Elsie, who listens to us on WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina. We have a story up about her because she called into the show. She was very concerned about my well-being, and she volunteered to be my bodyguard.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Remember Elsie? She said she was good with the shotgun and yes. and a handgun. That's good. Anyway, one of our friends over in Dallas says, Todd, your mumbly Marlon Brando impression, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse, is the worst in the history of modern radio.
Ouch.
But otherwise, I love you and your show more than life itself.
Wow.
There you go.
We'll work on your impression.
We're working. It's not my thing, but we're working on it. All right. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, folks. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on this hour of the program. Want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, the, I don't know, the internet guru now, the social media guru of our time, Jason Miller, joins us. Hey, Jason, how's it going?
Good, Todd. Good afternoon. Great to be with you. I am not wearing a blazer with sneakers on, so I don't think I quite qualify as an internet guru. But if I ever do wear a blazer with sneakers, then you can start calling me that.
Very good. All right, we'll pay very close attention to that, Jason. Of course, the incredible social media site that you guys created, Getter, GETTR.com, and folks, I'd encourage you to follow me there as well as Jason. First, Jason, it's going incredibly well, and you guys are just killing it over there.
It's going great. Over 2 million users, half of that here in the U.S., half international. In fact, Don Jr. and I are flying down tomorrow morning to Brazil, where we're both speaking. Don is obviously the big headliner. I am a small afterthought. But we're both speaking at CPAC Brazil in Brasilia, where President Bolsonaro and two of his three adult sons are on the platform. So this free speech movement, this populist movement is really taking off all over the world. And there's really kind of this commonality. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, you look at right now what's going on with, as we see these images in Afghanistan, you have the Taliban, who, by the way, are on Twitter. And we do not allow the Taliban on Getter, but at Twitter they have a different viewpoint. And so they allow the Taliban, but don't allow President Trump. That, ladies and gentlemen, really sums up Silicon Valley in a nutshell.
Oh, it really does. I mean, it really does. And now we're getting word, of course, Facebook is getting ready to crack down on political content. And you know this, Jason, there are many of us who have hundreds of thousands of followers, but only a fraction of those people are actually able to see content on the news feeds, which is why I believe so many people are making the switch over to Getter.
But Todd, I think you're describing it all wrong. It's just an algorithm to help you see the post that you're most likely to enjoy.
My apologies.
Don't listen to what the crazy right wingers are saying. This is actually helping you. And also, when they sell your data, it's helping you. And when they deplatform and censor and kick a number of your friends off of social media, that's helping you also because you just need to buy into their version of free speech.
There you go. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Jason Miller. You know, Jason, a huge thing happened last night. The Supreme Court deciding, you know what, we're not going to get involved in this Texas abortion law. A lot of people aren't saying this, but we said it earlier in the program. We said, thank you, Mr. President, President Donald John Trump, because it was because of the justices, the constitutionalists that he put on that court, that decision was made last night.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I had the opportunity to speak with President Trump last night. We're talking a little bit about this and also quite a bit about Afghanistan. And it's very, you look at decisions like this, and if there was ever a time to realize just how important elections are, just how much it matters that we go and put someone in office who be either going to appoint the right justices or have a calm, clear, level-headed perspective about something as complex as Afghanistan. And this really sums it up. But I think the decision regarding Texas, I think, is an important one. Just judging a little bit by, I did glance over at Twitter a little bit earlier, and just judging by the hate that we're seeing coming from the left, they're paying attention as well. So this is an important decision.
And you know, one other thing that, again, I give credit to President Trump for, he taught Americans and specifically conservatives how to fight back. And yesterday, I was so encouraged to see hundreds of parents turning out at a school board meeting in Sacramento, California. Project Veritas exposing a teacher who is pro-Antifa, had an Antifa flag in his classroom, and actually said on camera that he wanted to convert American children to the communist way of life, to become revolutionaries. And so many parents turned out and fought back, and now that teacher's out of the classroom.
Yeah, completely nuts. And I think the wokeification of the United States right now, and this is really peak cancel culture, and our free speech is better than your free speech. I mean, just the fact that you have a teacher who would think that these are messages that should be instructed to school kids, it's nuts. I think, you know, really part of the reason is after we saw the BLM protests and the super wokeness that came about last summer in the mainstream media, because either they're feckless idiots or because they have completely bought in. Like, well, I mean, we certainly can't criticizing this type of behavior. Let's just embrace it. And so now you see kind of this rampant wokeism that's popping up all over the U.S. And thank goodness these parents stood up and put their foot down on this matter.
Jason, earlier this week, President Trump was on the program, broke a little bit of news mentioning that he would be traveling to Iowa. And, of course, that got the attention of a lot of folks in the political world. How close are we to getting a decision on what's going to happen in 2024?
Boy, I tell you, when I talked to him last night, it's that he did not use the magic word, so there's no tripwire that was crossed or anything. He sounds like someone who's running in 2024. I fully expect President Trump to run in 2024. I think that, and we talked a little bit, not specifically to the running part, but just about how perilous of a position our nation is in right now, how our allies don't respect us, our enemies don't fear us, and how we become less safe when it comes to everywhere else. And keep in mind, when President Trump threw his hat in the ring in 2015, he truly felt that America was at a crossroads. If we didn't go and take the necessary steps, the tough steps that were needed to get us back on track, then we could really lose what it is for our country. Now, as we see the southern border, we see the embarrassment that we're living out in real time on cable TV regarding Afghanistan. I mean, this is in Joe Biden. Joe Biden's just a all he can do is come up to 3:45 in the afternoon press conference. I mean, it's a joke.
It is. All right. Well, Jason, we're going to leave it there. Safe travels. And you guys have a lot of fun down there.
Good. And Todd, don't forget, this is the last weekend for a Get Truckin' Sweepstakes. So go to gettruckinsweeps.com. Enter for your chance to win a brand new fully loaded F-150 that we're giving away at Getter. So gettruckinsweeps.com. I'm going to show up Ed McMahon style, Publishers Clearinghouse, blast from the past, hand someone the keys to a brand new F-150.
What? You're pulling an Ed McMahon? Okay, that's huge. Huge. Grace, I would tell Grace to post it, but I think she's already registering. So we'll be promoting that. That's awesome. All right, Jason Miller, ladies and gentlemen, from Getter.com. Getter.com, and your chance to win a brand new Ford F-150 pickup, and you get to meet Jason Miller. That's a pretty good deal. Jason, God bless. Look forward to getting you back on soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Jason Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Grace, you want a pickup truck?
Hey, I need a new car.
Yes, you do.
You've seen my car.
It's
I need a
tank.
New car. Yeah, Lincoln Town Car, baby.
Does it get good gas mileage?
So-so.
All right. Well, if you're in a flash flood, it's good. That thing's not going anywhere.
You know what? Yep, I got to see that recently, and my car was trucking along, and I saw these little Honda Accords stuck in the water. That's all I got to say.
You think he's going to run, Grace?
Come on. Is the sky blue? Yes, Todd.
Yeah. He's running.
He's running,
and I think he's going to win big. Bigly.
Like you've never seen before. I can't do a Trump voice.
No, you can't
do
that. You're going to get a nasty hit.
You know, they were making fun of your impression earlier, The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. It's sad.
Mine's just worse. That's Trump. So don't worry. I got you beat there.
Roseanne sends me a note. Todd, you need help. Who the hell do you think you are deciding this horrible, disgusting Texas abortion law is great? I don't think she likes me, by the way, Grace.
You might need help, too.
It's great to you morons, not for normal people. The right can always manage to get an abortion for their women they cheat with, asked Trump. What?
Dang!
He said in live TV he's paid for upwards of 17 abortions. What? You're nothing but a hypocrite loser.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Roseanne, it's your,
morning.
It's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Roseanne,
please just use proper.
You
grammar.
Are right.
Please.
If you're going to come and attack us on our website,
if you're going to throw an insult, just do it well.
Angela writes in, Todd, you are the bottom of the barrel. Oh, pardon me. I'm not even a barrel. You are at the bottom of the trash barrel.
Oh.
When you get raped and pregnant, then I'll listen to your views on abortion.
Oh, no.
In the meantime, well, that can't happen. Clearly, Angela is confused about gender. In the meantime, keep begging people for their money to support your privileged life. Now, wait a second. We don't beg for money on this program, do we?
Please give us money, please. No,
that's
the first time. Yeah, I was just showing you what begging would be.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Just a morsel.
I mean, if people want to send us money, we'll be more than happy to accept it.
Oh, I'll happily take donations for a new car because I need a new car.
We'll do a GoFundMe for Grace's car.
Or for Merlo. That's good, too. She always needs new doggy treats.
All right. Well, there you go. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. You think Trump is running? I think he's running. 901-260-5926. You think he's going to win? I think he's going to win. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Grace, you're helping keep me. You're helping to keep me out of trouble with the female population demographic.
Well, I'm your producer. I've got to make sure you're my
You're my buffer.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is that you call? I guess when a lady is going shopping and she's looking for clothing, and you have the what is the teeny tiny? What do you call? Is that the petite? And then what do you call the other end of the spectrum?
The plus.
The plus.
And then the regular.
And do they have a husky, or is that just for guys?
That's, no.
Or
no.
Just
there's plus, there's petite, there's regular. And then you got regular tall. That would be me, because I'm very tall.
What about the, you know, the old Sunday school song, there's a deep and wide? What would that be full-figured?
I guess so, but I don't think they're referring to clothing sizes in that song.
So you and I are looking at some video that just came in from the Texas State Capitol there in Austin.
Yes.
You're seeing this?
Oh, I'm watching it.
And do we have the audio? Right? Well, we've got some audio. Here's what they're saying. Bands off our bodies. Our bodies are our own.
At least they're using proper grammar.
True. I'm not sure they have much to work.
They got these like bongos that they're banging.
They're banging the bongos.
Banging the bongos.
They're banging the bongos.
They're all wearing masks.
And,
except for one.
Yes, they look very angry.
Well, you can't really tell, Todd, because they've got their masks on.
No, but you can tell from the voice inflection, as we just talked about with the survey.
Oh, yeah, so that's true.
They're not mumbling.
No, they're definitely not mumbling. They're shouting.
But then again, according to the survey, those kinds of gals would be attractive to men.
That's true.
I'm just... Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. 901-260-5926. We'll be posting this on our website momentarily. You can decide for yourself. Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dino, listening to us on Nuga Radio. All right, Dino, what's going on?
Boy, what a wild day today. Look, what would Elvis or Barry White? Barry White. Hey, baby. What do you want to do?
That's some of that Barry White baby making music right there now.
Now, here's what I want to tell everybody. People don't realize this, and Grace is such a sweetheart. Now that she's a producer, excuse me, you got to remember that.
We gave her a promotion, but, Dino. She's the boss hoss around here.
People think that you call, the Todd Starnes show. Now, yesterday, or I think the day before, I forget, I just had cataract surgery. But the President of the United States called you and talked to you for quite a while.
He did.
How prestigious is that? I mean, and you don't brag it up. You don't show it up, but... That's the quality of an individual that you are in your show. And I want people to realize that, when you call up to vent, like, you're not just talking to the next guy down the street. You're talking to a syndicated talk show that's nationwide. And I'm glad you're feeling better, by the way.
Thank you.
As far as this, what Sleepy Joe Biden did, little Diablo there, just a little devil, over, and, you know, what have they done? They turned all those weapons over. And Communist News Networks, I call them Communist News Networks, CNN, oh, they said, no, wasn't this, wasn't that. We never said that. Now, who's brought up 97% of the heroin that's brought into this country in Europe is from Afghanistan. What's been addressed about that, my friend? You know what I'm saying?
So years ago, Dino, you reminded me of a crazy story. So back in the, when they were trying to rebuild Afghanistan, this would be in the early days of the, of the war. They were actually, they sent farmers over there to try to help them with their crops. And so the idea was to plant cotton. But the problem was, we already had deals with other countries for cotton.
Sure.
So that's why they planted drugs over there. It's an outrageous story, but it's the honest to goodness truth.
And Santa Claus is real, and so is the Tooth Fairy. You know, it's like, not now, I just saw on the TV there, I watch the news once in a while, I'm trying to watch them all, and Dancing with Stars, they got this, her name's JoJo, she's the latest artist, a cute little gal, very intelligent, and she's, didn't come right out and say that she was a lesbian or whatever, but they're the first couple to do Woman and Woman Dancing with the Stars, and they just think it's a cat's butt, you know, and to me, it's like, sick. And I just, when does this madness stop? You know, it's mom and dad, not Tom and Brad. Now, when I was in Florida in the 80s,
mom and
they
dad
had a talk show, rock and roll, and they had two gay women. It was Wanda and Joanne, and they called them Dykes on Bikes. And it was so cute. But that's another story.
I don't think you can say that on the radio.
Mom and dad, not Tom and Brad. Great show. God bless you. And I wonder why President would call you.
Well,
because you're a winner, my friend.
Well,
so great,
you're kind to say that, Dino. I think it was actually a wrong number. No, I'm just kidding. No. But that was a fun interview. And, you know, one of the things we try to do here is that it doesn't matter who's calling, if it's the president or if it's Dino or if it's Joe from LJ or even Miss Janice, we want to be nice and polite and just have a conversation. You know, we're hanging out together. It's the lunch hour. Folks sitting around eating their bologna sandwich and sharing a few laughs, getting a little bit riled up. But at the end of the day, it's all going to be good. Hey, folks, stick around. We got a Radio Rumble coming up. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 901-260-5926, our phone number. Hey, ToddStarnes.com, lots of great stuff for you to check out there, including my brand new book. It's been out for about a month now, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. You're going to love this thing, and it makes a terrific Christmas present. Nice little stocking stuffer. So get yourself a signed copy over on the website. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines, and we're very excited to have Ladies Night on the Radio Rumble line. Our good friend Mary Walter out there in the great state of Maryland. Hey, Mary, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And Kayla Blakesley from the great WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Whoa Whoa Radio. Hey, Kayla, how's it going?
Good, and all I'm doing is thinking about biscuits and feeling like I need that and some sweet tea.
Hey, now, I will say this, Mary, one of the things about WOWO, they put on some incredible events, and Kayla, you may not remember this, but the last time you guys had me down there, it was me and Buck Sexton and Tommy Lahren, and you took us out for dinner at that beautiful Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You remember that?
I do, of course. When you're hanging out with us, you know, in WOWO land, Todd, it's always about the food, right? And we have to take you to Fort Wayne's finest. So of course, we went to Ruth's Chris.
I love it. Mary, real quick, how are things there with the weather? Did you guys get hit? I know New York City's underwater right now.
Yeah, we were very blessed. I'm at the Jersey Shore, and we could see the lightning. We could hear some of the thunder. And at one point, we did get a couple of cells where it was raining, almost 5 inches of rain an hour. But where I grew up is a little bit further north of here. Devastated. Roads are gone. People's houses. I mean, which is, it's just crazy. I'm looking at the videos from some of my friends who are firefighters back home, and it's just impossible to comprehend. I mean, having worked in New York and looking at the subways and everything, I just can't even imagine.
Ladies, before we get into the big issue of the day, this is probably the most important issue that we've talked about for some reason today on the radio program. There is a survey out from researchers in California, University of California, Irvine. They say that women are more turned on by men who mumble because it's macho. Meanwhile, men prefer more well-spoken women like Liz Hurley. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on this.
I don't know about Mary, but I am absolutely not attracted to men who mumble. My husband's also in radio, and that's how we met. And I was attracted to him because he's really well-spoken. But speaking of food, since that's what I brought up there originally, Todd, I'm attracted to a man who can cook. Lucky for me, my husband can do that. So I don't know what these ladies are talking about with men who mumble. Maybe, Mary, you can shed some light on that.
Well, you know, there could be an upside to this. Because if he mumbles, you can never understand anything he says, so you're always right.
I like it.
No matter what he says, you can say, you didn't say that.
Oh, my word. This is why my executive producer, Grace Baker, who you both spoke to, she tries to keep me out of trouble, but I keep stepping in it all the time. So. Well, look, there are lots of big stories around the country. And, of course, the fallout from Afghanistan. I'm curious to know what y'all are hearing with your respective audiences to the Biden administration and to how the Democrats are handling this. Looks like they're trying to sweep it under the rugs. Kayla, we'll start with you.
Oh, man, Todd, I'm sure our listeners are feeling really similar to your listeners. I think the number one word that a lot of our folks keep coming back to is disgusted. Absolutely disgusted with how it was not only handled initially, but how it continues to be handled. And I think for me personally, what I'm disgusted about actually, not only with the administration, but just from some of our top leaders in the Democratic Party, and that means I'm looking at you, Nancy Pelosi, you know, I'm looking at you, Chuck Schumer, is the lack of outrage and the lack of disgust that we're seeing some folks like that. I feel like it's just been deafening silence from Nancy Pelosi when it comes to Afghanistan. And I find that ironic because usually folks on the left, you know, your Hollywood elites, your athletes, they're always the first ones to scold Americans for remaining silent when it comes to BLM or LGBTQ or police brutality, right? And they always say that silence is oppressive. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like two can play that game, Nancy, Chuck. You're silenced here when it comes to Afghanistan and speaking about your fury and your disgust with how it's been handled, to me, is deafening. And that silence, out of everything, Todd, has just infuriated me. And quite frankly, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for Nancy to step up and do something. I'm waiting to see any powerful top Democrats just do something. And so far, they're all just sitting back twiddling their thumbs.
Mary.
Well, see, the Democrats are brilliant at controlling the message. I mean, they definitely eat the Republicans' lunch when it comes to controlling the message. And they have the state-run media on their side to help tamp things down. So what's the number one story going to be? It's going to be Ida. Ida comes along. All of a sudden, that phone call with the Pakistani leader that leaked out that they impeached Trump under accusations of doing the same thing, that isn't even being talked about, period. That's gone. That's already gone. That's already been memory hauled. Never happened. They're going to do the same thing with Afghanistan. Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats voted down. They wanted to read, the Republicans wanted to read the name of the 13 servicemen and women who were killed. And the Democrats wouldn't allow it to happen because they're going to tamp this down because they control the message. And that's why you're not going to hear outrage from Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or any other prominent Democrats. It's not going to happen. And if it does, if one of them happens to speak out because they served in the military or something along those lines, the media will then do their thing. They will come in and muffle that message. And this is what they do. And the Republicans don't seem to know how to handle it.
And you know, it's interesting that you brought that up. You know, here in, you know, our show originates from Memphis, Tennessee. So we're sort of in tune with what's happening in the South and the Deep South. And yeah, the hurricane was bad, but it was nowhere near as bad as Katrina was. And some of the messaging coming out from the National Weather Service and the news anchors about this is catastrophic. It's the storm of the century. That really does play into your point, is that they needed to change the narrative. And we had the President Trump was on the show Monday, and he brought that up as a point. All they're talking about is the hurricane. They're not talking about Afghanistan.
Yep.
All right.
That's what we're going to do. I was just going to say that's all they're going to do.
Mary,
well, to piggyback off that, Todd, they can't certainly talk about inflation right now either. You know, they can't talk about the crisis at the border right now either. So all they can do is choose to focus on, again, not that Ida hasn't been a big issue, but I think the bigger story is, hey, everything that we put into place from Katrina has actually worked. That's been a big part of that story that I've personally been sharing on my show in the mornings. But you're right, Mary. There's literally nothing else they can talk about, because the problems that we are experiencing right now in the country, they don't want to talk about. They don't want to address, because they're made by a lot of folks on the left.
But here's the thing, and a poor Todd's losing control of his show. This is what happens.
No, this is great. Go ahead, ladies. Have at it. Have at it.
Todd, you can come back after the break. Here's the thing for me is, I think these things are working for them. They are getting what they want. How many Afghan nationals are we bringing into this country that were not SIV holders, but we just threw them on a plane and brought them in? More illegal immigration. That's all they want. So all of this is working for them. They're not outraged because they want this.
Is it my turn?
I think so. I'm sorry. If you would mumble this, more, this wouldn't be happening.
I'm sorry. I got a Barry White voice, ladies. What can I say? You know? No. To that point, Mary, there was a report that came out late yesterday. Joe Biden actually agreed to protect Afghanistan's border while leaving ours wide open. And again, the sheer hypocrisy, bringing in all of these people, they have not been vetted, they have not been vaccinated, and they're being dumped into not New York City or Washington, D.C. or Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood in San Francisco, where they're paying people $300 not to shoot people. No, they're putting them in our neighborhoods, and that is of grave concern. Mary, you first, then Kayla.
You're putting them in red states. That's also part of this, because if you can't win an election with your policies, what do? You try to change the election laws, or you just flat out cheat. So what they're doing is they're doing both, in my humble opinion. So they're going to change the demographic. They're going to turn Texas blue. They're going to turn Florida blue. They're going to turn North Carolina blue. They're working on turning Georgia blue. And one of the ways they do it is through mass immigration, through demographic change via illegal immigration.
Kayla?
Yeah, I mean, Mary's right. If you want to put it this way, I mean, Democrats are just—they're playing politics and they're playing well. They're playing the game really well right now. And in fact, you're talking about where some of these refugees are coming. They're coming to my state. They're coming to Indiana, about 2 hours north of me, in South Bend, Indiana, at Camp Atterbury. That's where multiple are being dropped off as we speak. So that's what's happening, you know, in and around the whole country, but namely right here in Indiana, in my neck of the woods.
All right, ladies, we are going to have to leave it there. By the way, Mary, so you're at the Jersey Shore. Is that where the Walter family likes to powwow vacay during Labor Day?
Sadly, Memorial Day and Labor Day are notoriously horrible weather weekends at the Jersey Shore. I don't know why.
Oh, it's wall-to-wall people over there. And, you know, we had family back in the day in Atlantic City, and they used to always complain about the folks from Philly coming over on the trains, you know, because they brought the lunch in the shoe boxes. They called them the shoebies. So
that's
back
right.
in the
South
day.
Jersey has the they have the shoebies, and we have the Bennies who come from New York and North Jersey.
I love it. And, Kayla, what about you guys in the Heartland? What do y'all got planned?
Oh, we always go big. We do a whole fireworks display. We usually got baseball, hot dogs, because, again, everything with me revolves around food. And between you and I, Todd, and Mary here, I'm taking off the whole week. So come tomorrow, I'm hitting my weekend, and I've got a whole week off, which is the first time in a long time. So I'm going to celebrate hard.
Well, enjoy that.
Good for you.
All right, Mary, Walter, Kayla, Blakesley, ladies, have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, great ladies right there. So, and by the way, they are incredible. You know, that's the thing about this radio program is we want to introduce you to other radio hosts around the country that are doing incredible work. and rock solid conservatives. And so Mary and Kayla, great people. And we had a wild time. It was, believe it or not, Grace, me, Tommy Lahren, and Buck Sexton on a small airplane together.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was crazy. We were doing an event for WoWo. They carry my commentaries and the talk show over there. But they carry the weekend edition.
Sure.
And so they had us in for an event. And then a couple of years before that, it was me and Ann Coulter. So if Man. You can picture me, Ann Coulter is like 6'1".
I was about to say, she seems like a tall lady.
Very tall. And she was wearing a... Now, me, I'm wearing like traditional, boring Brooks Brothers blue suit, you know.
Yeah, same old, same old.
Ann Coulter came out wearing a pink leather miniskirt.
You go, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you.
I tell you what. I'm just telling you. It was a fun night. Fun night in Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got to take here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Grace, we're getting tons of messages on the Facebook stream.
Well, and, what do we do now?
Some of them are very kind. They said they love all of us here, which is nice to me.
Oh, that's sweet.
Jory says, Todd, Grace, you need to get Todd a dog, and he also needs an aquarium for Christmas.
I've been saying you need a dog, but it sounds like you wouldn't really have time for a dog. So... I don't know. But if you were, hey, I want to know, though, if you were to get a dog, what kind of dog would you get? Like one of those big, like, German Shepherds or like a little purse dog?
No, I'm not getting one of those homosexual dogs.
Okay.
And I got nothing against the metrosexual dogs.
They say, like, dogs are kind of look like and act like their owners.
Yeah, I would like a golden retriever or something like that.
That's so typical, of course. Right? America's dog.
Yeah, it's a great dog.
It is a great dog.
I'm just telling you. What kind of a dog did you think I was going to get?
I thought it'd be like a medium-sized dog.
Yeah, I don't want anything really super large.
Yeah, I don't see you with the Great Dane.
I'd call him Biscuit, though.
Oh, of course you would.
Biscuit, come here, buddy.
Or I could see you with like a lab.
Or Gravy. No, not Gravy. I like Biscuit. A lab, I would love a lab.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a nice dog, too.
Water dog.
What?
A water dog.
Oh, is that what the labs are?
They like to swim.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, take them out on the lake.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. One of the horrible stories from the flood in Slidell, Louisiana, on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, and his wife, he was waiting in the floodwaters, and the next thing you know, alligator jumps up and, like, rips the man's arm off.
I heard about that.
And then, so the wife goes for help, and when they come back, there's nothing but blood in the water. And the police statement said, and I'm just,
no.
I memorized this. The press statement said from the police department, the gentleman is no longer with us.
Well, no.
He was supper.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why I don't like lakes. All right. By the way, you folks in Georgia, do you know a guy named Eric Erickson? He is a conservative talk radio host, and he's going after you folks that don't want to get the vaccine, calling anti-vaccination crowd idiots. He did so on WSB radio after a family member of his died from the China virus. Mr. Erickson says the relative's decision not to get the vaccine was influenced by anti-vaccination messaging. Eric Erickson said that he then called organized efforts to undermine trust in the vaccines a deeply evil thing and a sin. And this is a conservative talk radio host. This is the quote. Listen to this, you idiots. That's what he said. Have I ever called our audience idiots, Grace Baker?
Not to my knowledge.
We don't do that.
No,
we don't do that on this radio program.
No.
We believe everybody has an opinion. And, you know, it could be the wrong opinion, but you got an opinion. We have had some Democrats call in, so I guess you could, well, anyway.
Oh, goodness.
What I care deeply about, though, is that some of you are scared of getting the vaccine because you've heard people on the internet lie to you and you don't know that they're lying. I don't care that you don't want the vaccine, Eric Erickson told his radio audience. But if you're out there spreading lies and misinformation and disinformation and willfully undermining people's trust with a vaccine, I care about that a great deal. So here's my take on this. And again, it goes back to Americanism 101, Constitutionalism 101. The decision to get the vaccine is between you and your doctor. And I've got no problem. And I've gotten holy you know what from conservatives because I dared come back on the radio. How many times did we hear people, you got to get the vaccine, Starnes. You have a moral obligation to your audience to get the vaccine. No, I got an obligation between myself and my God to get the vaccine. All right, that's my decision. So I go out there and I get the vaccine. I mean, I get the vaccine, but I did so because my doctor told me to, not because some, you know, dare I say idiot, screamed at me to get the vaccine. But I've noticed something, Grace, out of all of this, that all these people that were screaming at me and sending me the nasty emails and telling me I'm not a Christian because I didn't get the vaccine. So I got the vaccine, and what happened? I got sick and ended up in the hospital, and now I have a heart condition that I did not have before I got the vaccine. You know what I haven't heard from, Grace? You know who I haven't heard from?
I'm guessing those same people.
All of those people, the pro-vaccine disciples. Don't hear from any of those people.
They all
anymore.
Disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Poof, they're gone. I hope you understood what I said there. I didn't want to mumble, but there you go. All right, folks, look, we got to get out of here. It has been a weird show. It has, but that's all right. We traffic in weird on this program. Folks, have a great rest of your day. Be safe if you're up in the Northeast, and don't get in those floodwaters. Watch out for the gators, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.